My sermon's still up here from the first service. Grace, mercy, peace, and Easter joy be unto you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is the Easter gospel story, and it's also in relation to the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 65. The reason why we celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the dead is because we are resurrected too. And so Isaiah promises us in this passage what kind of new heavens and new earth will be our abode when we are finally resurrected on the last day. We will be planted into an eternal Easter garden. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. Wait a second. What's that up in his hand? Is he holding pruning shears? Is that a trowel? Then it must be. It is. The gardener. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. The gardener is the one who's able to take a beating and get back up. He's the one who is able to be crucified and then rise again on the third day. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The gardener. He's not the hero we deserved, but he's the hero we needed. Today on Easter Sunday, the church sees more clearly than any other day the true identity of Jesus Christ, the superhero he really is, the God he really is, who is able to single-handedly destroy sin and death, take it away from the world, not with super strength, not with x-ray vision, not with a cape that helps him to fly, not with a spandex suit that shows off all his muscles. But the gardener comes to us in ways that maybe we wouldn't expect. The gardener comes to us with wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. The gardener comes to plant, to cultivate, to water, to harvest. The gardener comes to remove all of the wicked weeds of the world and to take all of us citizens and place us in the garden. The gardener actually desires that all people in the world would be able to enter into this garden, to be planted in this garden, and he has the ability and the means to make it happen. But there's one little caveat with the gardener. The gardener does not force anybody to be planted against their will. In order for a person to be entered into that eternal soil, they must recognize who the gardener is. They must realize what his true identity is. They must believe in his true power. Recognizing the gardener is key. Thankfully, the gardener never hides his identity from us. The gardener isn't like all those other superheroes out there, you know, the ones that have some other secret identity and they live kind of like a double life. He's not like Clark Kent. He's not like Bruce Wayne. He doesn't just become Superman and Batman only when duty calls. The gardener is always the gardener, but he's only recognized as such wherever true faith can be found. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who don't have that kind of faith. There are a lot of people in the world who look right at the gardener and look at all of his handiwork and still reject it. Yeah, they may see the plants growing. They may actually enjoy some of the fruits and vegetables that the garden yields, but they still dismiss it. They still refuse to believe it. They say there's no possible way that this superhero could really be as super as we all claim. They say that science is the real superhero. We should only be talking about things that we can observe and measure and understand according to our human reason. There are so many people that will say there is no gardener at all. And anybody who claims that there is not really worth listening to. The gardener is right in front of our faces, and yet they don't recognize him. Boy, it's a good thing that you and I are not the gardener, that's for sure. Because I think it would be really hard for any of us to put in all the work, to pour in our blood and sweat and tears into the garden and not get any kind of recognition for it. People like you and I thrive on being recognized for the things that we do, to the point where if someone actually doesn't recognize us, or even worse, if they give the credit to someone else for the hard work we did, man, that makes us mad. A couple weeks ago, we hosted a blood drive here at Trinity. And there was a scheduling conflict that day, so we couldn't use the gymnasium. There was a basketball tournament happening in there all day long, and so we had to move the blood drive into the school basement, which obviously is a much more cramped location. It took a lot of creativity to try to figure out how this was even going to work down in the school basement. And so I decided to come a little bit early, you know, and help the Red Cross folks to try to figure out how we were going to do this. We brainstormed together. We came up with a plan for the whole layout, and then we got to work. And I went and fetched them their tables and their chairs, and I even went and got them some fans because it was a warm day and there's no air conditioning down there either. So I put in all that time and all that work. I gave them my sweat, and then I literally gave them my blood, because I ended up donating 2 units of red blood cells that day too. And then afterwards, later that afternoon, I went back home. And I was standing out in the front yard, and one of our members of the church, one of the volunteers who was helping with the blood drive, came over and saw me, and we got into a conversation. And she told me that the folks at the Red Cross were still looking for me. And when they asked for me, they didn't ask for me by name, and they didn't ask for me by my title either. They didn't say, oh, hey, where did the pastor go? No, what they asked was, where did that janitor go? Where is that nice little man who was helping us before? Where is the janitor? And as I thought about that, I realized that kind of annoyed me. Not because I think that being a janitor is below me, of course. So Caitlin, Kurt, and Kathy, please don't get me wrong, okay? I used to serve as a church janitor once upon a time. It's not that. It's the fact that they thought the only reason I was there helping them was because I was being paid by the hour to help them. In other words, the only reason I was there was because I was obligated to be there. They weren't recognizing the fact that I was the pastor of the congregation who was taking time away from his family on a Saturday in Lent to move tables and chairs. Who's going to take credit for that? My sinful nature really wanted the credit for my sacrifice. But I recognize that's not the right attitude to have. So back to our hero, the gardener. You all know the Easter story. This is the story that we hear every year at this time. And this morning we heard it once again from Luke's gospel, Luke's account here in chapter 24. I want to remind you all of another moment during the Easter story that actually takes place in John's gospel in chapter 20. And it's actually the perfect description of the very things that we see on the cover of the bulletin today. I'm going to read to you here starting at verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw 2 angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. She thought he was the gardener. Well, he is, isn't he? Yeah. Except Mary Magdalene, in that brief moment, thought that was all he was. She thought that Jesus was the gardener, as in the caretaker of the cemetery, the guy who's just the gardener of death. And it wasn't until he says her name, he calls her name, and she recognizes what his true identity is, that he is the gardener, as in the superhero, as in the caretaker not only of death, but of life. Now, on this Easter Sunday, in order for us to truly give credit where credit is due, we also need to recognize the true identity of the gardener. There's nothing wrong with saying that Jesus takes care of us in our death. That's a true thing. But first and foremost, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Which means that he's alive. The gardener who personally made this journey from death to life actually now wants the same thing for you and for me. The gardener places us in his garden, and he waters us with the water of holy baptism, and he feeds us, not with Miracle-Gro, but with his body and blood. And not only that, but this gardener has promised that he will return to his garden, and when that day comes, he will transplant us into a new garden for all eternity. And that's the day that Isaiah is talking about in this Old Testament reading in chapter 65, and I'm going to read to you again some of these really comforting words. "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be." This is the true work of the gardener. This is his true identity, and part of recognizing his work is realizing in faith that the Easter resurrection story is not something that only applies to Jesus. It applies to you, and it applies to me, and it applies to this whole sinful, broken creation that we live in. The gardener has never stopped cultivating his garden, and he never will, which means that Easter lives on beyond just this one day. Every single time we as Christians gather together, we are celebrating these things, these very things that we are proclaiming and hearing today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. So when danger rears its ugly head, and sin and evil seem to be lurking around every corner, and it seems like the power of the devil threatens to take away our peace and our security and maybe even our own lives, don't turn to the Man of Steel. Don't turn to the Dark Knight. Don't expect the Justice League to bring you any justice. Don't expect the Avengers to avenge you. There is only one hero who can actually take us and plant us in that Easter garden forever. Jesus Christ. This looks like a job for the gardener. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. As we go to God in prayer today, our prayers continue for Lorraine Hake and Bessie Spray, both of whom have been hospitalized recently, and they are now both home. We also continue prayers for Norman Arning, who has also been hospitalized this week, and he's still there, although it looks like he might be coming home soon. We also remember in prayer Kent Rinker, who has begun his chemo treatments last week. And we give thanks to God today. We are announcing the birth of Navy Faith Marie Eichmeyer, who is the newborn daughter of Haley and Mitchell Eichmeyer. And she was also brought into God's family through the waters of holy baptism last Friday. So we give thanks to God for that. And she's going to be having some surgery on Tuesday. And so we're also going to keep her in prayers for that reason too. Let us go to God in prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, in the triumph of Christ's resurrection, you have revealed your saving will to the whole world. Hear us on behalf of ourselves and all people as they have need. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have borne the sin of the whole world and given to those marked with death the promise of new and everlasting life. Receive our thanks for Christ's glorious resurrection and bring us with him to our own joyful resurrection and the grand reunion of all your saints prepared for us in the marriage supper of the Lamb without end. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, your power is over all things, and even death has become your footstool. Reign in the might of man, and preserve us against all that threatens the reign of peace. Give wisdom to President Donald Trump, Governor J.B. Pritzker, all those elected and appointed to serve our government, and all who judge and enforce the rule of law. Deliver us from pride and from the deception of self-sufficiency and technology without moral conscience and purpose. Bless this nation with peace and safety, and give an extra measure of your grace to those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Isaiah, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Gannon, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, and Joyce. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, you have established the church as the instrument of your saving purpose and endowed us with the gift of your word and sacrament. Embolden us with your spirit that we may be renewed in witness, sustained in trial, and refreshed through the means of grace. Bless those who bring us your gifts and preach to us your word, and give us willing ears to hear and willing hearts to keep this Easter faith. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Jim Rivett, who serves as the Southern Illinois District's Senior Prison Ministry Coordinator. And also be with our sister congregation, Trinity Lutheran in Hoffman, as they continue to search for their next pastor. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Lord, mighty God, thank you for the grace you have shown to each of us in our daily lives and for the many blessings of life on this planet you have created. We especially praise you today for the birth of Navy Faith Marie Eichmeyer and for her new birth of water and the Spirit in baptism. Watch over her as she undergoes surgery this Tuesday and bring peace and calm to her family. Lord, we also ask you to bless those who are celebrating birthdays this week, including Angie, Dolores, Wayne, and Chance. Finally, Lord, we ask you to be with those celebrating special wedding anniversaries, including Gary and Marilyn Sudmeyer. Keep them in your grace and mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy Lord, mighty God, your healing and strength are the hope of all the weary and afflicted. According to your gracious will, give to all the sick and those who suffer healing and relief. But especially remember those for whom our prayers are requested, including those who are in care facilities, Eddie, Thretta, Ferris, and Bill, and those with ongoing health needs, including Alma, Lorraine, Bessie, Norman, Sharon, Kent, Ben, Jamie, Helen, Richard, Carlene, Teddy, Verdell, Sam, Brooke, Barb, Curtis, Wayne, Leon, Marvin, Amy, Glenda, Mike, Alden, and all those who face cancer, and those who we now name in the silence of our hearts. Grant to all for whom we pray patience and hope until that day when they wear the new and glorious flesh Jesus now wears and all their afflictions cease. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Holy Lord, mighty God, this is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. By your Spirit, prepare us to receive the body and blood of our Lord now for the strengthening of our faith in this mortal life, and build in us anticipation for the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we and all the people of God shall feast upon in his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all these things, Holy Lord, and for all things needful, trusting that you will grant to us what will benefit us and our lives in faith, and will keep from us all things harmful. Through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen.